Is the carbon dioxide that comes out of the exhaust pipe of your car a pollutant? On November 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be confronted with that very question in one of the most important environmental cases to come before the High Court. Massachusetts and 11 other states, along with numerous environmental groups, argue that CO2 from cars is a pollutant and causes global warming. And therefore, the Federal Clean Air Act requires that the EPA regulate it. Joining me is David Dreesen. He's a professor at Syracuse University College of Law and visiting professor at the University of Michigan. Hello.
Hello.
Professor, the section of the Clean Air Act that this case hinges on seems pretty clear. The act authorizes the EPA to regulate any air pollutant that may endanger public health and welfare. But the Bush administration and the EPA say the law simply doesn't apply in this case. Is that right?
EPA's position is actually more radical than the question embodied in that section. EPA has actually said it's not a pollutant. Greenhouse gases just aren't pollutants under the Clean Air Act. And that's even crazier in terms of the literal language, because the literal definition of pollutant in the statute is a pollutant is any substance that goes into the air. It doesn't even have to harm anybody. If it goes into the air, it's a pollutant. And once it's a pollutant, then they look at this other question you're talking about. Does it endanger welfare? And EPA hasn't even gotten there. It hasn't really decided whether greenhouse gases endanger public welfare, because it took this rather radical stance that carbon dioxide and the other gases that are warming the earth are not pollutants under the Clean Air Act.
So the administration is saying what?
Well, the administration is saying, first of all, we don't have authority to do it because Congress didn't mean for these particular things to be pollutants. And they're saying, even if we had authority, we wouldn't do it because it's piecemeal regulation. It'll help if we don't regulate to get China on board. They have a whole bunch of reasons why they think it's a bad policy idea to regulate. And that's really what's driving their decisions. I don't think it's a legal decision. It's really a political decision that they just don't want to regulate greenhouse gases. And then they're doing their best to justify that in law.
So when all is said and done by this Supreme Court, what do you expect the ruling to be?
Well, it really depends on how the court treats the case. If the court treats it as just a straight literal case and we're just going to apply the rule of law, then it seems to me Massachusetts wins. It goes back and EPA has to then grapple with whether to regulate and what sort of regulations to write if they do regulate. On the other hand, if the court thinks that the rule of law shouldn't apply here, that just should be political, it may find a way of avoiding hearing the case.
Professor, are you surprised that the Supreme Court took up this case?
I was a little surprised, mainly because the case below, there were three different opinions. And that's not the kind of clear opinion the Supreme Court usually likes to review.
So why did they take this one?
Well, I think it's got to be because of the importance of the global warming issue. This addresses global warming. They read the newspapers. They know this is a big deal.
Professor, if the Supreme Court does side with Massachusetts, could this be construed or considered legislating from the bench?
I don't think so. It'd be simply an application of the rule of law. The Clean Air Act is very clear. If the court follows the literal language of the statute, it has to rule for Massachusetts. And by the way, that wouldn't obligate EPA to regulate strictly. They'd still have some discretionary decisions down the line about whether to regulate and if they do regulate, how strictly.
So here you have, if you believe the scientists, the clock ticking on climate change and global warming. And yet when all's said and done, more will be said than done here.
Well, that's the big problem, and it is a huge problem. And it's right now, the action we're getting on this is not from the federal government. It's from the states. It's from California and the Northeast states. And it's a very serious problem. And the negative economic consequences and the health consequences and so on and the environmental consequences of global warming are very serious. And these gases are accumulating every year. It's a very serious situation, and it's a shame that the federal government hasn't addressed it.
Now, you're the author of the book Economic Dynamics of Environmental Law. What are the economic implications of this?
I think there are two major economic implications. One is if EPA were to regulate, this could provide very big benefits for consumers. The second is it could help the competitiveness of the auto industry. The reason for the benefits for the consumers is that the auto industry could address this problem by trying to increase the energy efficiency of the vehicles, and that will save on fuel cost. In terms of the competitiveness of the industry, there's a dynamic out there where people are competing to try to make cleaner cars. They're going to have to because the governments around the world are going to demand it. I think the companies with the cleaner cars in the future, as fossil fuel prices rise, as they become more scarce, as we do more to address global warming, I think those companies are going to have an advantage.
David Dreesen is a professor at Syracuse College of Law and visiting professor at the University of Michigan. Professor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, the prospects for a new oil and gas boom, drilling beneath the polar ice cap, just ahead on Living on Earth.